I think most people don't realize like how much better Perplexity is than Google.
You can really, really rapidly do a lot of research and get a lot of ideas super, super quick. And to me, that's really powerful, but also I hope nobody goes and takes this idea and runs with it.
Tons of people will. Isn't it?
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave Podcast. I'm Matt Wolf. I'm here with Nathan Lands. And, you know, everybody's talking about AI. AI is everywhere. It's all over the news. Every big company is putting AI into everything. But we keep hearing the same question. What the heck do I actually use this for? How is this benefiting me? How is this going to make my company better or my daily life better? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in this episode today. Nathan and I, we're going to share with you some of the ways that we're actually using AI in our own businesses. So that's the goal of this episode, is to break down the ways that maybe you're not even thinking about that AI could really, really benefit your life. I think there could be some overlap here between what you're going to say and what I'm going to say, but
yeah.
There'll be some slight nuances to the way I do it versus the way you do it. You want to kick it off? Like what's like the first actually actionable use case for AI that we can talk about here?
Yeah, so I saw this tweet from Balaji, which I thought was really interesting because for a long time, I've been a huge fan of Perplexity. You know, I've started using it for a lot of the research I do. Instead of doing a Google search, mm-hmm. I found that often I get better answers on Perplexity, actually. And I've started using it for the podcast research, especially like for interviewing a guest. You type in the guest name and like the information you get from that is so much better than just doing a 100%. Google search. You get videos they've been in, you can ask it follow-up questions, but you know, like what kind of stuff did they talk about on recent podcast or whatever. It's great.
If people want to learn more about Perplexity, we actually had Aravind, the CEO and founder of Perplexity, on the show. So make sure you check out that episode. But what Perplexity is it's essentially a large language model like ChatGPT or like Claude or whatever large language model you're used to using, but it also searches the internet for you whenever you ask it any sort of questions and then uses whatever it finds as part of the context for the response. So you could ask it questions just like you would ask ChatGPT, and when it's formulating that question, it's always going to do like a search on the internet to try to make sure it's giving you the most sort of informed response that it possibly can. And once you start using it often, it's kind of hard to go back to regular Google.
Right. And so I saw this tweet from Balaji. I thought it was genius. Like, yeah, you can actually just change it, right? You can go into Google Chrome or whatever browser you use, and you can change your default to be Perplexity. He shows how to do it here. Just click here in Google Chrome. You go to settings. You go over here to search engine. And then you click manage search engines and site search. All right, you edit that. You type in Perplexity, and then you actually, I've already got it activated here, but you'll find it like right here, and you click activate, and that's it. And then it works.
So Google made that like an option in the settings where you can just...
It's slightly hidden. Okay. it's not as easy to find.
But it's not like you don't need any sort of extra Chrome extension or anything like that. You just go straight into the Chrome settings and then do a search for it, and then you can make that your primary search engine. So now, like whenever you type
settings,
anything
search engine,
into the URL bar at the top, it's going to search Perplexity instead of Google, right?
Yeah. For example, if I type in the Next Wave Podcast right here, right, and so now it's like pulling up all of our episodes. It's giving a synopsis of what the podcast is about. It's even like sharing some of the feedback from listeners, which is wild. Related topics and and then you can even ask follow-up questions, right? You could ask about a certain episode, what happened on this episode, or what were the key takeaways, and it has all
that.
So
I'm curious, what are some of the ways that you're using Perplexity that have, I guess, made life easier, made business easier, made daily productivity easier? Like what are you actually using Perplexity for?
I mean, mainly like researching companies, research for, you know, the podcast, but also for meetings. Like if I'm meeting somebody and I don't know much about them, maybe before I would look at LinkedIn, but it's like kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So much information, and a lot of it's really kind of.
Well, and Perplexity is actually going to pull in stuff from LinkedIn a lot of times as well.
Right, right. And then you can ask follow-up questions, which is way better. Because if you want to actually talk to it and have like a thing where like, oh, where did they go to, you know, what company did they work at? What were they actually responsible for? I just like that experience better than looking at someone's LinkedIn. And and also if they were on videos or whatever, you get so much more context about a person for a meeting. So I think that's like the main use case. I'm sure there's tons of others for people who are doing other kinds of research, maybe market research, other things that Perplexity is great for.
Right.
But like I said, I had a really hard time developing the habit. I'm just so used to going to Google or LinkedIn. And I'm finding that this is definitely helping me to develop the habit of like, oh, just use Perplexity for that stuff.
For sure. Well, I'll share my first one because it's super related. Yep. It's related to Perplexity as well. I was going to talk about how I actually do guest research for the podcast using Perplexity. I'll go ahead and share my screen so that you can see, you know, how I do it. So basically, I plugged in myself as if I was interviewing myself today just because I was curious what it would bring up. But this is the type of thing I'll do before every single podcast. I'll give it a prompt like, I'm interviewing Matt Wolf, the YouTuber and creator of Future Tools, on my podcast today. What should I ask him to ensure an engaging, educational, and entertaining episode? So that's the prompt that I like to give. I always like to give extra context just in case like somebody else has that same name. Like there's a professional golfer named Matt Wolf. And so if I just say like, what should I ask Matt Wolf? It'll be like, how do I drive the ball farther or whatever, right? So I wanted to make sure I gave that additional context of the YouTuber and the creator of Future Tools in my prompt. So I know it's going to pull up the right Matt Wolf. But then I also don't want it to just ask like boring questions about the company, right? Like let's say I plugged in somebody that works at HubSpot or something like that. I don't want it to give me questions like, what are HubSpot's new initiatives for 2025? You know, like I don't want it to get like boring corporate questions. I want them to be engaging, educational, and entertaining. So very, very specific in the way I prompt it. But then like you can see the steps that Perplexity went through. Research background information about Matt Wolf and his YouTube channel. Identify key topics and areas of expertise for Matt Wolf that would make for an engaging and educational podcast. Brainstorm a list of potential interview questions that would cover the key topics and provide an entertaining and informative episode. So you can actually see the way Perplexity is sort of thinking through this. It's almost borderline agentic, right? Where it does this one search and it goes, okay, we've got this information now. Now use this search and it pulls up more information. And you can see here up at the top, Matt Wolf, creator of Future Tools, current job, founder at Future Tools, YouTube host and podcaster. Where I live, my education, it apparently pulled all this in from LinkedIn and has like a little bio of me right there. Over on the right sidebar, you can see a whole bunch of content that I've been involved in with the ability to watch it. And then it brings up some questions. You know, what sparked your interest in AI? Can you describe your journey from being an entrepreneur to becoming a YouTuber? How do you stay organized and manage your time effectively? And it broke this all down into sections. And I'm telling you, like, sometimes, maybe we shouldn't put this out in the world, but sometimes we'll pull on a guest onto our podcast and we've had such a busy week that we didn't have all of the time in the world to research the guest. Well, this right here just made it infinitely easier. So I wanted to share this because it's very related to what you were talking about. But also, like, if you're going and interviewing for a job somewhere, plug in the company here. Plug in the person's name that's interviewing you here. And learn more about that person. So you're going into this interview like dialed in and ready to have the conversation with the person that you're talking to, right? If you're about to just jump on a call or a pitch meeting or something like that, you can really, really rapidly do a lot of research and get a lot of ideas super, super quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people don't realize like how much better Perplexity is than Google. And like, and it seems like Google, the quality of Google seems to be going down every year. And it's like most people just don't realize it because it's like it slowly has been happening, right?
Yeah.
But and now we're like, you know, AI content being mass generated, like the quality is going down more and more, it seems. And, you know, Google's tried to fight that by relying more on authorities. And now that's why you see Reddit and Quora at the top. But now people are using AI to mass spam Reddit and Quora. So it's just the quality of Google continues to go down. It's when you search for something, you often don't get the answer. Unless it's something very simple, you often don't quickly get the answer to, you know, to your question.
Yeah.
But with Perplexity, you get such great quality, you know, answers, whatever you're asking, and all the extra information with the videos, and you can do follow-ups. I highly recommend people try it out.
Yeah, and even like Google is trying to do this same kind of thing now, right? Where you do a Google search and it has the AI response up at the top. The problem with Google is it still to this day doesn't know the difference between a meme and reality, right? Like all of the stuff that came out with Google, like saying, hey, maybe you should try putting glue on your cheese to make sure it sticks to your pizza. And how many rocks should you eat per day? And, you know, geologists recommend you eat at least 17 rocks a day. All of that stuff is because memes exist that said that random ass stuff. And Google thought that it was, you know, actually factual information that it fed through its AI. Perplexity doesn't seem to have those same sorts of issues because I think it's sort of doing a little bit more cross-referencing than what Google's doing.
Yeah, they started from scratch, like thinking it, you know, thinking how to build a search engine or, you know, an answer engine up, you know, from first principles. Whereas I think Google's relying on really antiquated technology they built a long time ago. You know, you can see this in some of the recent stuff with like people trying to search for Donald Trump or the assassination attempt. It's like, oh, did you mean Kamala Harris? And it's like, what the hell? What are you talking about? And I don't think that was like somebody manually doing that. That's probably just based on like all the news sources they're pulling in information from, and they're putting certain authority to those certain news sources.
Yep.
And that's probably why that happened. But that's based on like antiquated technology, and that's probably why all that's happening. People should be using Perplexity.
Look, in the next 30 seconds, I'm about to let you in on something that will completely change your marketing strategy with AI. Back when we met with Greg Eisenberg, he summed up the widespread fascination with AI perfectly. Everyone from your barber to Jeff Bezos is interested in AI. So if you want to drop some AI knowledge during your next haircut, HubSpot has a new trend report that is packed with original research and data on all the AI trends to watch for this year. This PDF is the ultimate resource for you. You'll learn the top 5 AI marketing tools everyone's talking about, the tools that are driving significant return on investment, and it answers the question on everyone's mind: is AI helping or hurting your career trajectory? You can steal the research findings from this report to revolutionize your business strategy and transform the way you work. So if you want it, grab your free copy from the link in the description below. Now back to the show.
Okay, this next one, I saw it from a tweet from Allie Miller. She calls the Claude walk. And I've actually heard this from other people too, like Dan Shipper. Apparently this is one of his top use cases for AI, is that when you're thinking about something, you know, instead of just sitting in your room or in your office and just kind of, you know, working on it that way, like actually get out and get some exercise and do work at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. And AI actually makes this actually feasible now. So what he does and what Ali's suggesting people do is go for a walk and then use something like a Super Whisper or something like that to transcribe everything that you're saying and then make it where you actually have notes, which then you could feed into ChatGPT or Claude, tell it to remember it and make it actionable. And I think Dan said he's even using that for his newsletter, I believe.
Right.
Like that's how he's writing his newsletter. And so I was like, I have to start doing that. Cause like I've been on like a big health kick, especially, you know, I think in the age of AI, being healthy is really important. I was like, okay, so if I can get out for a walk and whatever I'm thinking about for my newsletter, just say it as I'm walking. Right. That would save so much time, but also I find that when I'm walking, I'm more relaxed. I'm more able to think. You know, it's kind of different than jogging, where it's hard to think. When you're walking, you can think very clearly.
Right.
Sometimes even better than when I'm sitting down. And so I'm trying to get in the habit of doing that. I'm having kind of a hard time getting into it because I feel like in Japan, it feels slightly awkward to be like the American guy walking around where everything's really quiet here in Kyoto. And I'm like walking around talking to myself outside and people are staring.
I feel like people are worried about that less and less and less these days because it's so common now to be, you know, just have like AirPods in and be like talking to somebody on the phone while you're walking around or something. So I don't know. I've always felt self-conscious about that as well, but I feel like it's definitely getting more normalized.
Yeah, so here's Super Whisper. People can check it out. So yeah, I'm actually planning on like installing this and trying it today. I haven't tried it yet.
So what does Super Whisper do? I've heard of it, but I'm not super familiar with it.
So you can download the app. I think it's mainly on macOS, I believe. And you download it and it just helps you transcribe, you know, whatever you're saying to it. So it's like you just talk to the app and then it transcribes it for you.
Okay, similar to Otter. I use Otter for the same thing.
Okay, yeah.
You Otter, no.
How do you use Otter?
So Otter's the same idea. It's an app that's on my iPhone that I open it up and you just start talking into it and it basically transcribes whatever you say in real time. You know, one of the ways I actually use it, this is actually not something that was in my notes, but I'll share it anyway because it's top of mind, is whenever I go to these conferences, when I go to Google I/O, when I go to Microsoft Build, I'm going to Meta Connect next month. Whenever I go to these events, I actually pull out my iPhone, open up Otter, and then set it on my lap. and just let it transcribe the entire presentation that somebody's giving. And then when it's done, Otter will give you like the like summary and bullet points of like, here's the main takeaways from the transcript that you just created. And it will just like give me bullets of like, here's the 10 things they just talked about in this presentation. So I can sit in the presentations and just completely zone out if I want and not pay attention. And I'll just have my cliff notes of the entire presentation sitting on my phone later. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
But actually, you know what? I'm going to jump to another idea that I was going to share today because it's related to what you just said right there.
Oh, okay. okay.
Similar concept. But one thing that I like to do when trying to create like documents, like PDFs or any sort of written blog posts or things like that, is I like to speak them out and then have them transcribed and then use AI to sort of reword the transcription for me into something that sounds more like a written article versus just like reading a transcript, right? So the most recent one that I did, I'm sort of laughing, you'll understand why I'm laughing in a second. The most recent one I did was HubSpot reached out to me and asked if I can help them create a PDF on all of my thoughts on like the AI world right now. And they sent me this questionnaire with like 14 questions on it. And I looked at it and went, man, I'm gonna have to actually like sit down and type out responses to this whole thing. Oh, this is gonna be a pain in the butt. So what I actually did instead was I gave this questionnaire to Emily, who's my assistant. I gave it to Emily. We jumped on a call and I said, read these questions to me. Just pretend like you're interviewing me for a podcast or something and read these 12 questions to me. And I'm going to record this and I'm going to record my response to every single question. So I recorded the entire conversation as she read through these 12 different questions and I answered every single question. And then I took that recording and I pulled it into Descript. So Descript, you can upload an audio or a video file. It will transcribe the entire thing for you. So I used Descript to get my transcription. And then I took that entire transcription and I pulled it into Claude. Claude lets you upload really long text files. And then I pulled the whole thing into Claude and I went through and I had it actually answer the questions again for me one by one, but using the context of the document that I uploaded. The idea was I uploaded the entire transcript as like the context. And I said, use this transcript to answer the questions that I'm about to ask you, right? So then I went through the document again, the 12 questions, and I took question one, copied and pasted it into Claude, and then Claude responded to the question, but based on the answers I gave in my transcript. And I just went through every question one at a time and had Claude write up a very succinct response that had like my sentiment in it. It had the ideas and thoughts and things that I shared in my response, but it, you know, did it in like a single paragraph per question. And so it's super helpful to write up documents and articles and things like that. And so how other people can apply this is, let's say you want to write a blog post on SEO. I don't know what niche you're in, but let's say you want to write up a blog post all about like the top 10 SEO tactics or something. Write out a list of questions that you think people would want answered about SEO. Just write out all of those questions and then record yourself just answering those questions out loud. And then you can pull it into one of these transcription tools like Descript, let Descript transcribe the whole thing, and then take that entire transcript, pull it into Claude, and then have Claude turn that into a written article or a PDF document or something like that for you. And it saves so much time. And it writes it probably way better than you would have written it yourself, let's be honest. So that's a really, really good process. But it's very similar to the idea of like going for walks and just sort of transcribing your thoughts as you're walking.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's anything like that, that you know, takes it to an area where like humans are living more of their lives and like being healthier while actually still getting their work done, I think is awesome. It actually kind of goes into my next one. So my next one really is about using AI to like stay healthy. So this is not for work, but I do think it's relevant. If you're healthy, you can work better. And I think a lot of people have not really connected the dots too, that like in the age of AI, people are probably going to live a lot longer. And you know, AI is most likely going to unlock some like major advancements in healthcare that people might end up living 10 to 30 years longer, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. So you want to be healthy, right? Like you don't want to be like old, like living a super long life, but you're very unhealthy. Like, no, you want to be somewhat healthy. And So I've been trying like on a big health kick over the last year. I had gained a lot of weight during COVID, and I just kind of like kept it on and like, you know, lost 5 pounds here and there, but still was quite overweight. And then about a year ago, I started going to the gym a lot, like quite often. And the first thing I realized, it was like, you need to really track your calories and your protein. I had never done that in my life before. I'd mostly been like kind of slightly overweight most of my life. I was super fit when I was maybe like 18 or 19. And so I realized, like, okay, you got to track calories and protein. And so I've been using this thing. Actually, it's a custom GPT that I created, which is, it's very simple. Like, it doesn't do all the stuff I want it to do. It's like, you know, I would like for it to do a lot more, but the memory is quite limited on what, you know, what they'll actually remember. And it's real simple. And I just have a thing here where I have like, for example, I'll do like a new day, you know. I'll like type this in. I'm typically doing it on the mobile app. I'm typically not doing it on my desktop. But anyways, you type in like new day, and you'll set like, what are your calorie goals for the day? What are your protein goals? And just anything that I eat, like if I know the calories in protein, I will type that in. And I can even, you can even do just shorthand, just literally just put the, you don't even have to tell it what's calories in protein. It'll figure that out. You can just put the two numbers and it'll know that. If you want, you can add a description to it. So like, oh, I had a latte, or I had oatmeal, or whatever. But also the really cool thing is you just kind of keep this same window open, the same tab, and like you can go back to it every day. And I'm sure at some point there's some kind of memory limit there, but I've been using it for like 2 months now, the same one. And then the cool thing is like it, in that single context, it remembers all the stuff you shared before. So like, oh, I had this protein drink or whatever. It'll know what the calories and protein are for that. So you don't even have to type in the numbers anymore.
So you're basically using it to track the calories and protein. Is there any other like benefit that you get out of it? Is it like giving you motivation? Is it giving you like,
I would like for it to do more stuff like that. It's literally just doing the calories and protein. Like I wanted to do a lot more. I was like, okay, I'm going to make this like a really cool, custom GPT where like, it'll motivate you. It'll like track your progress. Like, yeah, it's currently not capable of doing any of that. Like, I mean, I'm sure you could build an application that used ChatGPT's API. I'm sure you could do that. But in terms of a custom GPT, it doesn't seem to be possible at the moment.
Well, you could use like the RAG method, right? Retrieval augmented generation, where like every time it gives you an update, copy and paste it into a text file, and then upload that text file, and then it will.
Yeah, I've been too lazy to figure that out. Yeah. I should at some point. but yeah, I mean, for me, it simplifies tracking calories and protein. I just type new day every time when it's a new day and it starts over. If I want to change anything, like, okay, right now I'm trying to diet. Okay, I reduce my calories by 300 or something like that. If I'm trying to gain more muscle, I increase it by 300. I am trying to give it to where it can actually coach you more on that. Like,
You know,
I tried to feed it like different documents from like people who I really respect, like different like health scientists and things like that, or exercise scientists. And then it's pretty useful. Like, you can talk to them about like, okay, I want to bulk right now. Like, what does that mean? And like, how many calories should I be taking in? Or what should I be doing differently with exercise? So it will answer that kind of stuff.
Because what'll be cool is like, you know, you can go in there and be like, oh, I've seen like I've plateaued. I haven't, been able to add more weight to my bench press or whatever in 2 months. What do you think's wrong? And based on all of the memory of all of the data you've plugged in, it might be like, oh, well, it looks like you're doing this wrong with your diet. And maybe, you know, you didn't do this with the weights or whatever. And it can actually start giving you custom feedback based on everything you input. Like, I feel like that's probably something that can be achieved right now with Claude or GPTs. I just don't know the exact formula to do it.
So somebody should go and copy my thing and then actually make it super useful. do your own thing, have at it. I would love to use it. If you do, let me know. But I have found that one thing that's actually, so when I tried using calorie trackers before, like if you try to add something that you ate, it's like you have to like find it in a list, or it's like they're usually like kind of complicated. But with this, I can just type it in, and you can even do, if you're not trying to be super precise, like, okay, I'm not trying to like win a competition or something, obviously, like I don't have to be super precise, estimate for me. I just ate this, estimate, you know, and the estimations seem to be pretty good, like often like within like 20% of the real calories and protein. So it makes it an easy way to track it. Just type it in, tell it what you ate, and it'll come up with a pretty good estimation of how many calories and protein you took in.
Awesome. Well, the last one that I was going to share is actually how I sort of write scripts for shorts. So on my YouTube channel, I've actually started something different. Doing,
okay, good. It's not.
Yeah, yeah. This one's different. I actually go back to Claude for this one. You could actually do it with a custom GPT, and it would work just as well. So if somebody's listening to this and they're like, "But I pay for ChatGPT. I don't want to pay for Claude too." You can do the same thing in ChatGPT. It doesn't really matter which one you're using. So I've actually started doing a lot more shorts on my channel. I'm trying to experiment with doing more shorts as opposed to only doing long form videos, because I want to try to get in front of different audiences, and shorts tend to get in front of different audiences than the long form videos. I've also got sponsors coming to me saying, "Hey, I would love to pay for a short on your channel." So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I should start doing shorts then. So I've actually started playing around with more shorts. And so I created this custom project in Claude. And if you're not familiar with custom projects, but you are familiar with like custom GPTs, it's basically Claude's version of a custom GPT, right? So I created this one called Shorts Writer. And what I did with it was, you can see I uploaded a whole bunch of transcripts from shorts that I thought were really, really good shorts. So I came across shorts that had a lot of views, that were in sort of technical niches that talked about, you know, AI or talked about like emerging tech or things like that. And I downloaded each of the videos and then I pulled them into Descript to get the transcript from the video. And then I uploaded all of the scripts from all of these videos that I found. And then basically what I told this custom Claude prompt to do is to read the scripts that I uploaded and try to find the sort of consistent formula that seems to make all of these work well. And for anything I put into the prompt box, give me a similar script. So that's essentially the way I did it. And so now if there's like a new piece of news, so if I go over to like a news website, I know you can't actually see this because I'm just sharing the one tab, but if I go to like a news website, there's some news out today about how the Humane Pin is actually getting more refunds than it has purchases right now. Not a great look for Humane, but if I was to go and copy the entire article and come over to Claude, you can see I can paste in the entire article and it makes this little like pasted box here. So I just posted in the entire article from The Verge about how Humane's performance is underperforming right now. I don't have to put anything into the prompt box because it already knows what I'm looking for. And if I just hit enter on this, it's going to read this news article and then write me a script based on this news article that I put in here.
That's so crazy. You could do that with like a faceless YouTube channel too, couldn't you?
You could. So like it just gave me, it knows that I want my script to be under 60 seconds. Yeah. I'm trying to model Cleo Abrams is like one of my favorite YouTubers as far as like shorts go. She does a really good job with them. So it's kind of trying to model a similar formula to what Cleo's videos are. And you can see it wrote like a 60-ish second script about that news article that I just put in. Humane just launched their AI pin, wearable device meant to replace your smartphone, but things aren't going as planned. Imagine you create a revolutionary new gadget. You spend years developing it, raise over $200 million from big tech names, and finally release it to the world. But then more people return it than keep it, right? And it just wrote this whole script for me that's actually a pretty like compelling, interesting script. It sounds
like a good short. That's crazy.
Yeah, you take this script, I throw it into my teleprompter here, I read it, I overlay it with B-roll, and I can crank out shorts in 45 minutes, you know?
Wait a minute, is that what you're doing? Are you changing anything?
A lot of times it's not specifically worded the way I would word it, right? Sometimes it'll use like Delve or, you know, the common words that like make it obvious that it's AI. So I will, you know, tweak some words to make it sound a little bit more like me. But for the most part, the scripts come out pretty good out of the box.
That's wild.
Let me see if I can show you my system prompt here. So create video scripts that will be 1 minute or less in the style of Cleo Abrams. Use the transcripts in the project knowledge to determine the consistent formula behind the video scripts. Then use the details about the video idea inside of the prompt to create a video about the details in the prompt in the style of the Cleo Abrams videos following a very similar formula. So I uploaded the transcripts and it's following a very similar formula because I really liked her flow. She always starts with like, imagine this and then give some more details and then like it's got a very formulaic flow to it, and I was like, I really like that flow. But now I can plug in any news article, any sales page. If I need to make a video about like the Rabbit R1, I can go to the Rabbit R1 homepage copy the all of the details from that page, right? Copy all of the bullets and the selling points of the product, paste them in, and it will write a short for me that will ideally make people interested in the rabbit, right? So that little like flow for me has made making short form content really, really easy for me.
That's crazy. I was imagining like if you combine that with like 11 labs and like generating a voice, reading all of it out, and then you start using some of the new AI video tools that are out there. I think there was a new open source one released today, or it's going to be released soon. Generate some B-roll or something like that. I mean, like you have like most of the video just like done. Like
you can. That's not really a future I'm looking forward to.
I know exactly. I'm like, somebody's going to do that. It's going to be either great or horrible or somewhere
the lower
in between.
The, we bury the entry, the lower we bring this barrier to entry to create content like this, the more we're just going to get flooded with junk. So I'm like, I'm always sort of hesitant to share this kind of stuff because I'm like, this works really well for me. But I also know like if something doesn't come out quality, I'm not going to upload it. A lot of other people aren't going to have those filters, right? A lot of other people are going to go, oh, I can make a workflow where I can crank out a video every 10 minutes and just see what works. I'm not really looking forward to that future, but I found a workflow that works for me. And I know, you know, a lot of others might find it valuable. If there's like a content creator that you're like, oh, they have a decent formula, a decent flow that they follow when they make their videos, you can actually use a tool like this to reverse engineer the flow of the video and then use that reverse engineering to then make videos for you based on the topics that you input. And to me, that's really powerful, but also the lowering of the barrier for effort, like also makes it sort of scary. And so I hope nobody goes and takes this idea and runs with it.
Tons of people will. Tons of people will.
Damn it.
but I think long term, people want to see people's faces and actually know who's the person behind it. And like you said, even if you have Claude help you make that, you're still curating, you're still coming up with the idea to do the video in the first place.
I think that's like going to be a big differentiator. I think, you know, some people will go out there and try to make these faceless videos where they get the formula written for them and then they plug it into 11 labs and then they plug it into a video tool that generates all the B-roll and then they just throw it online and, you know, nobody knows who's behind it. Nobody knows why they should care. I just don't think it's going to work for most people. Some people are going to crack that code and they're going to have videos that go viral. It's just sort of inevitable.
Yeah.
99% of people will never crack that code and their videos are going to get seen by 7 people, right? I think in the future, as we move forward, being like a personality online, being like a name that people can trust that they find reputable is going to become so much more important than the actual content that you're putting out there, right? I think the faceless channels are just going to be, well, I can't really trust this. I don't really know the person behind it. They could just be trying to sell me something. How do I know this isn't their affiliate link? You know, and I think having the face, the personality behind it is going to be the differentiator that makes some content work versus others.
Yeah. I bet there will be like an opportunity though for like 2 or 3 years to like make a lot of money doing that.
Oh, dude, like some company's going to roll out an app that just does it for you. Like, hey, I need a video about the Rabbit R1. All right, here it is. And it's just done.
Yeah. Pay me this much money. You know, just pay it. Stripe, you know, $300 or whatever. Maybe that's what lore should be. this has been a fun episode because I feel like there's a lot of things I learned from you, like how you're using AI for video that I find fascinating. I think it'd actually be kind of fun to do maybe even a whole episode on that at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, at the same time, it kind of pushes me to, you know, there's all these great use cases for AI, but like some of it, like, you know, there's a few things I actually use and a lot of things I know I should be or should be trying that I haven't. Yeah. This kind of pushes me to actually go out and try it.
And I've gotten so hooked on Claude and Perplexity. Claude sort of helped with the creation process, Perplexity to help with the research process. Between those two tools, I mean, I pretty much have those tabs open all the time now. Like I'm hooked on using those to just A, stay looped in, and B, to turn around and create content that I think people are going to like out of it. But, you know, I think, like you said, I really, really enjoy doing episodes like this. I want to kind of turn it to the audience for a second. So if you're watching this on YouTube or listening to the podcast, I'd love your thoughts on this. I think on Spotify, you can actually leave comments now. If you're watching it on YouTube, leave some comments. Let us know. Do you like this style video? Do you enjoy us showing off use cases? Do you prefer interviews? We're still sort of finding our flow and figuring out like what is going to provide the most value for the people that tune into the next wave. So your opinion's valuable. Let us know in the comments wherever you're watching or listening to this. It's super, super appreciated. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next one.